let's bring ourselves up to date. What we were talking about. Very much Nogela Halacha. We went through the sources, the whole source of this din. We have a one line psak in the Shulchan Aruch, in Reish Mem and Yehudeya, one line psak that you chayev to mechabed your father in law, and we saw the poskim, it means your mother in law as well. But the source of that was a little bit shaky. The source of it was basically in a Medrash Tillim and in a Yalkut Shemoni, which we read together last week, where we find from the source from David HaMelech that according to Rabbi Yehuda, he referred to his father-in-law as my father. That's it. That's the main source. So apparently, having seen the Shach bringing the Bach, and then we spoke a little bit more afterwards, it seems pretty clear. We're not talking about a Daraisa here. This is not a Daraisa. It is not from the Torah, this obligation. The way that the Shach brought from the Bach was that you're chayef to honor him as you would one of the zakenim achshuvim, like a chashuv yid. You're obligated to whatever that difference is in halacha. Therefore, when we saw the strong lashonis of the medrash of the Alkut Shemoni that you chayev to honor your father-in-law, the way that you honor your father, we saw that doesn't mean halacha. It means that in principle, the same way that there's an obligation of honoring by a parent, there's an obligation of honoring by an in-law. But it doesn't mean mamish, the same halachas. And then, what we ended with though last week was this very interesting statement from the Pesachei Teshuva. So the Pesachei Teshuva raises this point that let's just go over the Pesachei Teshuva, because that's what we're going to be talking about right now. That we saw in the Pesachei Teshuva Sifkat and Chaf, in Simen Reish Mem, Sifkat and Chaf. I'm just going to read the words again in Pesachei Teshuva. We're on this halacha. You have it on this halacha in the Pesachei Teshuva Sifkat and Chaf on the right side. The Sifkat and Chaf in Pesachei Teshuva. It says Chamav. So on this din, he brings Ayin Behetev, the Duhadin Chamais, the same thing with the mother-in-law. Okay, then he says afterwards, he begins, the Pesachei Teshuva actually begins. Simen Reish Mem. Yeah. In the Pesachei Teshuva Sifkat and Chaf. It's page 114. Yeah.
114?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're on the right side.
Cool. Yeah. So he brings on behetiv do adin chamois. Okay, we saw that it's the same thing by a mother-in-law and so on. Then he begins. So mashak is oid v'hainu the mechuyev lechabdim kamei shar zakenim, that you're obligated to honor them like shar zakenim, like zakenim chashuvim, like we saw kain kosav hashach v'shem abach. The v'nira de zem muchruch middle el. And how do you see that this must be? This is where we ended last week. How do you see that this must be? He says, because of the din in Sif Yud Zayin. She'ish and Nesu'a Ptur. What's the din in Sif Yud Zayin? That a married woman, if there's a conflict and her father tells her one thing and her husband asks her to do something else, and there's a conflict there, that the halach is that a Nesh and Nesu'a, that she's Ptur from Kibud Av'eim. She's exempt from Kibud Av'eim. She listens to her husband. Demlokin Haisa Chayev is Kevin Shagam Baila Chayev Chvadaviyah Harayhu Chamav. You remember this interesting Pesachei Teshuva? What is he saying? Let's just chazal a little for a second. Pesachei Teshuva says, if I would be chayev midaraisa to honor my father-in-law, then in any case where there would be a conflict between what the husband wants and between what the father and what her father wants, since I'm obligated to listen to her father because he's my father-in-law, so why would she have to listen to me? There would be no conflict. She's obligated to listen to her father, and I'm obligated to listen to who? My father-in-law. So the Pesachei Teshuva says, no, that's now we understand that what the Shach is saying, that it cannot be that it's mamash din daraisa of kibud. It can't be. It's not the halacha of kibud the same as a father. Certainly not. Therefore, the halacha is that the husband, that she listens to the husband, and she does not listen in such a case. She doesn't listen to her father because he's a chayiv midaraisa to mechabed his father-in-law. That's what we're up to so far. Now, you recall that I began this entire discussion last week with a very interesting hypothetical question, and there was a reason that I did that. It's not just because it's interesting, but because it's very much going to help us understand this Pesachei Teshuva and come to the halacha. You remember that I began with an interesting question of what happens if a woman is married to her father's younger brother, to her uncle, but her father's younger brother. Now, why would I present such a question to begin with?
He also has an obligation.
Because here we have, based upon this Pesach Teshuva, if we could find a situation where you're Chayiv Midaraisa, where the husband is Chayiv Midaraisa to honor his father-in-law, yeah? If he would be Chayiv, we said, all right, regular father-in-law is not. But let's use this example. Here we have a case where she's married to her father's younger brother. Now, that means in a relationship between a younger brother and an older brother, is there a Chayiv Midaraisa to honor the older brother? Absolutely there is. There's a chiyuv midaraisa for a younger brother to honor an older brother. That's something which is that's a sugi that's not here. That's a sugi in Ksubas and Nafkuf Gimel that there is. And it's learned out from Kabbalas Avicha Ve'esimecha. It's learned out from the extra lashon of Ve'es.
But it's not also not the same Madriga as for a parent.
No, but nevertheless, there are chilukim and halachas, right. But nevertheless, it's according to almost all the poskim that din of honoring an older brother is midaraisa. So now we have this case where in this situation it would seem if we have a conflict between who, between the husband and the father-in-law. So if we would apply the svara is that since he's obligated to honor also, he's also obligated to listen to his older brother, right? And that's also his father-in-law. So now we found a case where there is a chiv midaraisa clearly to honor your father-in-law if it's an older brother, since honoring an older brother is midaraisa. Right, so the father-in-law here is an older brother. An older brother, Chayiv Midaraisa, to honor. So what would happen if you would have a disagreement? What happens if the father-in-law says that for his daughter, for the wife to do something, and the husband disagrees? So l'chayra, it would seem that in this situation we would have a classic situation where perhaps he would be obligated to honor. To listen, she would be obligated to listen to who? To her father. Because her husband's also obligated to listen to her father. Where do we see such a similar... This is not true. This cannot be true. We'll see why in a moment. But where do we see this concept of kedima? Kedima means that I have a conflict, I have to honor two people, but I have an obligation to honor, and someone, and there's a conflict in my responsibility of honoring. Where do we see this? The Gemara is in Kedushin on Lamed Aleph. The Gemara there says, it's on Daf Lamed Aleph Kedushin, it's right next to Taisus there, says Lom of Kidna. It says, Sha'al ben Almana Achas is Rabbi Eliezer. The case on Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph. Sha'al ben Almana Achas is Rabbi Eliezer. It's around maybe 20 lines down from the top. Shoal ben Almana Achas is Rabbi Eliezer. Alam Na'af Lam Ben Aleph. So the Gemara there says a case that Shoal ben Almana Achas is Rabbi Eliezer, that a certain Ben Almana, the son of a certain widow, asked Rabbi Eliezer the following: Abba Oimer Hashkein. This is the case that happened. Abba Oimer Hashkein. What happens in this case? Abba Oimer Hashkein Imayim. Lamed Aleph Kedushin, Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph. That what? Abba, Eimer Hashkini Mayim. There's a conflict. Abba, my father says.
Stepfather or father?
Abba, the father said. Yeah, Maisa Shahaya. Theoretical. Yeah, it's a question. Abba, Eimer Hashkini Mayim. What happens in the case? Yes, Rabbi Lo. What happens in the case where Abba Omer Hashkini Mayim, where my father says, my father is telling me Hashkini Mayim, bring me a glass of water. V'im Omer is Hashkini Mayim, at the exact same time. So Abba says Hashkini Mayim, and Ima says Hashkini Mayim. Each one says, bring me water now. I want water now. So what's the din? Eizim Hem Kaidim, that's the Gron's question. Who is Kaidim? In other words, there's a Shiloh, where's the din of Kedima? Who do you listen to? Your father tells you this, and your mother tells you, and you can only do one, obviously, at that time. Who comes first? So the Gemara says, Amalai, Hanach Kvaid Imcha Vasei Kvaid Avicha. For a moment, put aside your mother's honor, for a moment, and honor your father. Sha'ata V'imcha Chayav Mechvaid Avicha. Sha'ata V'imcha Chayav mekvayd avicha. Since there's a din that the wife has to be mechaved the husband. So the answer of Rabbi Eliezer is very simple. you have to honor the father. Why? Because there's a halach of kedima. The halach is that in a situation where I have my father asking me for one thing, my mother's asking me for something, and I can't do both. The reason that Rabbi Eliezer told me you have to listen to your father is because your mother's also chayav to listen to him. Your mother's also chayav to listen to her husband. So normally you're obligated to honor both parents in any way possible. But when there's a conflict, when my father's asking me for something, my mother's asking me for something, I have to listen to my father. Why? So this is part of the Gemara, is because she's also have to listen. She also has to listen. So we would say, that idea, that concept, let's try to apply it to our case. Let's transfer it to our case. We have this unusual case where a woman is married to her uncle, right? So it's their father's younger brother. So it happens like this. Her husband says, Hashkini Mayim, right? Bring me water. Not that any husband should talk in such a way. Please, honey, bring me a glass of water. Hashkini Mayim.
No.
You can't do that. Hashkini Mayim. So bring me something. And her husband says Hashkini Mayim. And her father says Hashkini Mayim. Uh-oh. So now we would say, oh, one second, we have a Gemara Laman Aleph Amar Aleph. The Gemara says, we would answer, hold on. Certainly she would have to listen to her father. Why? Because the younger brother is obligated, and so are you. So he's a younger brother. That's his father-in-law. He's a younger brother. Right? And a younger brother is obligated, mitaraisa, to honor his older brother. So the same way I would apply this concept of kedima, that I see there's a halach of who goes first when I have a conflict. How do we decide? Well, let's see. We learn from the Gemara in Laman Aleph, the way that I decide in a conflict is, if both, in the case with the person asked Rabbi Eliezer, what do I do if my mother wants them, my father wants them, the answer is, listen, the demis is that both you and your mother are obligated to honor your father. So even though there's a halach of honoring your mother as well, but since your mother has to honor your father and you have to honor your father wins. So I would say the same thing. That in a case where she's married to her uncle, so and there's a conflict that the husband wants something and her father wants something, so we would say, listen, both you, meaning the husband, and your wife are obligated to honor that man. Why are you both obligated to honor that man? Her, because it's her father. And you, because what? It's your older brother. So the chayra would be, the halacha would be, that in that case she would have to listen to her father and not to her husband.
Question.
That's what the svar would sound like, yeah?
Question.
Can't be.
What if father and mother are unfortunately divorced? And they're both saying that they want... The Gemara's going to say that?
Well, the Shulchan Aruch, yeah, talks about it. The Gemara talks about it also.
Because there...
Nisgarshu.
Okay, so there's no longer the chiyuv.
Right.
So then, in that case...
Then, if there's conflict in the father and the wife?
Right. In other words, the father and mother both say, bring me water. And, but there's no longer an inyan of kibud for the wife to the husband because they're now, because they're divorced.
Yeah.
So now you're the son. Who
good. Okay, good. We're going to talk about that. In Echanami over there, it's a different halacha. We'll talk about it. Okay, we're going to talk about it. Right, that's really different. Because why? Because the halacha of kibud has fallen. Let's talk about it right now. We'll see. So,
just quickly, in the other group,
yeah.
What is the union of Ben Almanah? Why? I mean, the Gemara is not saying Ben Almanah for nothing. There's got to be a reason in that Gemara it's Ben Almanah, not just the Flori Almori wrote a question. I mean, it's replying, he's asking hypothetical questions about a father. I'm just interested why.
Rashi says, Shal ben almona ata, v'loi tzorich ata l'maise, el alumad basa. All Rashi says is that it's like, listen, you're a ben almona, so this isn't l'maise by you. No, it's not a shayla, it's not a halacha. You're not asking me halacha l'maise, but I'm telling you, what you're coming to ask me in learning, and I'll talk to you in learning. That's what Rashi says. I mean, I don't know. It's interesting. Why does such a Gemara have to be asked, you know, that it's asked in such a way by a Ben Almana? So, you know, why do we care about his profile and his background? And Rashi says that it's not Lamaisa. He wasn't coming to ask Lamaisa because Nebuch, he was a Ben Almana. That was the case.
It's something that specifically doesn't apply to him. And
yes.
In the Gemara,
right, right,
the question
right,
about the father's
right, right, right. It's odd. It is odd. I don't know. It's odd. So, so we have to now... come back and to try to understand this Pischei Tshuva properly. Remember that the Pischei Tshuva learns Pshat. He says, how do we know that honoring your in-law is not, it couldn't be a Midaraisa? Because if it were Midaraisa, then we have in the case where I have a conflict between the father and the father-in-law, since you're obligated, you would be obligated to honor your father-in-law as well. So then she would have to listen to her father, not to her husband. So now we brought a hypothetical case where what? Where he is obligated midaraisa to honor his father-in-law, right? Because he's the younger brother. Now the Teretz is like this. I think it's a simple svara. The pshat is when we're talking about the woman's father and her husband who are conflicting. There, it's not a halach in kedima, who comes first. Who comes first is in the case when I'm obligated to honor both of my parents, and there's a conflict, I'm chayav to honor both of them, and I have two dinim of kibbut. Listen carefully, I have two halachas of kibbut. I have for my father, for my mother. So let me say, listen, both of us have to honor him, so I guess he goes first. I'm sorry, Ma, right? Because we both have to honor him. Because there are two halachas of kibbut, and then we just see who wins. So if since mom also has to be mechabed him, so then dad wins. I mean that's when we apply the concept of kedima, who comes first. With a husband and a wife, it's not a halacha in kedima, who comes first. This is how you have to understand the pshat in how to learn Shulchan Aruch over here. The reason that the wife has to listen to the husband is not because of kedima. The reason that the wife has to listen to the husband is because she's mishubedis labayla. That's another mishubedis labayla means that there's no halach of kibbut anymore for her father. You know, what it means is that in a case, of course, she has to stam on her father on a regular day. If there's no conflict, she has to, of course, she has to. But where there's a case, any situation where there's going to be a conflict between what her father wants and what her husband wants, what do we say? We say not that the husband wins. That's in a case when I have both parents, so the father wins. Here it's not a question of who wins. There is no halach of kibbut ha'av. When there's a conflict with the husband, so the din of the halach of being mechabed the husband, it's not a din in kibbut. Look at the lash. Let me read again in Sif Yud Zayin. Reish Mem Sif Yud Zayin. Echad, he says like this. Echad the ish vechad the ish shav mechvaydu mayr shalav. Ve'ein. Ela she'isha ein biyad alasa she'him shubedes l'bayla. Shehim shubedes labayla means, as we saw in the Gemara and Rashi, we saw in the Gemara last week, Rashi's lashon is rishus acherim aleha. Rashi says who? Bayla. That means she's not in her father's rishus. She's in her husband's rishus. It's what?
Whose domain?
She's not in her father's domain.
But it makes perfect sense because for a man, you're always in your father's domain.
Right.
No matter what. But
right,
woman,
right, right.
You go to your husband, so you left your father's domain to go to your husband's
right.
domain.
Right. So when you're in your husband's domain, when there's a conflict, there's a hafkar of kibbut. Let me explain. When there's a conflict of kibbut, that's like my mother asked me, my father asked me, there's a conflict. So then we say, okay, then we have rules. What are the rules? Let's see. We have rules, who goes first? So the rule is, since the mother also has to honor the father, so then we say, okay, then you have to give to your father the water first. Okay. Because we're talking about, you have two halachas of kibbut, for your father, for your mother. Who wins in the halachas of kibbut? The answer is that your father wins in the halachas of kibbut, because she has to honor him also. So the father wins in the halachas of kibbut. That's a law in kedima. Who's first? When it comes to anybody who's conflicting with a husband, it makes no difference. The fact that it's his older brother, that's between him and his older brother. Whether he's chayv to listen, he doesn't want to listen. That's not the point, that his older brother told him to do something, whether he's chayv to listen, he's not chayv to listen. That's not the point. The point is, for whatever reason, the husband disagrees with his older brother regarding his wife. And that's within his rishus. Because the Gemara says, rishus acher maleh. Rishus acher maleh means that when the husband asks for something, and there's anybody who's conflicting that request, any other person in the world loses. Why? Not because her husband wins. It's not pshat that there's a higher level of kibbut. You can't say there's a higher level of kibbut. You know why you can't say there's a higher level? You cannot say there's a higher level to honor your husband than to honor your father. It's very simple. It's beferish and chumash. It doesn't say that by your husband. To learn like this, you can learn all you like. It says beferish and chumash. Every child knows. Kabed es avicha vesimecha. Honor your father and mother. You don't have to make any drushes. Kabed es avicha vesimecha. Doesn't say that about honoring your husband. How it's learned, where it's learned, that's a separate parasha. But it doesn't say. So you can't. Nobody's right mind would say that there's a stronger halacha of kibbut when it comes to a husband than when it comes to a father. You can't say such a thing. Honoring your parents is midaraisa, it's a beferish or pasuk. It's not a drasha, it's a beferish or pasuk in chumash. There's no question that honoring, you're obligated to honor your parents. That's the strongest halacha of kibbut in the universe. It's to honor a parent. Then how come I should listen to my husband? Then why could she listen to her husband? But the Torah says that because rishus acherim aleha, because she's mishubedes labayla, there is no halacha to honor her father when there's a conflict. In other words, it's not because he has a higher level of kibbutz. The husband can't have a higher level of kibbutz than honoring a parent. There's no such thing. But it means that the Torah says that because she's in this situation, the Torah wants to keep the home together, and right, we'll talk more about that. So because of this situation, the Torah said that when your husband tells you something, when your husband wants something, then in that situation, the laws of kibbutz of a parent are what? Not that they're defeated, but they're suspended. You hear? It's a hafkar. There's a suspension of the halacha of honoring a parent in that situation. But the younger brother's not listening to his older brother. That's slug it out. That's not the first time or the last time. He's chayv the rice with their brother. That's not the point. The point is, here, we're talking about my wife. And in this situation of my wife, then the din is Rishus HaChemel, she's Mishubedes L'Baila. That's the Lashon Shulchan Aruch. She's Mishubedes L'Baila. It's similar to what the famous ruling of the Avudram. Well, the Bidram is explaining why is it that it's also a sugi in Kiddush, it's right over here. It's explaining in this mission, why is it that Mitzvah Aseh has man grom and noshim p'turis, right? If it's a time-related positive commandment, if it's a lulav, a shayfer, and so on, women are exempt from all Mitzvahs Aseh that are time-related. So the Bidram says the reason is because she's Mishubadis Labayla. That means that she doesn't know, it's unpredictable. Her husband might need her for that, her children might need her for this. She has a certain shibud, and therefore she's exempt from those time-related mitzvahs because time is not in her hands. She doesn't have bailus over her time. She doesn't have control over her time. She's on, I mean, that doesn't sound nice, and I'm hoping only men are listening to this tape, but she's on call. She's on call.
If she's not married? If you have someone who's a woman who's 18 years old, she's not married. So according to that svar of mitzvah sessions, that she should.
Okay, that's a kash on the Bidram. That's a kash on the Bidram. Then what is it? Because of chinuch,
she might be mishabedes lav.
No, forget about chinuch. She's 20 years old now. She's just not married.
So she's still mishabedes lav.
Maybe not.
Okay. You know what? No, Blair, it's a good question. But I don't want to go off into that whole thing because you're right. Ben Chanan is a kasha that you all ask on the Bidram. They asked that question on the Bidram. So then what would you say about a 20-year-old who's not married? They asked that question on the Bidram. I'll call upon him. The idea, the concept that the wife is Meshubedes Labaila, that's not halach in kibud. Honoring a father or mother is the strongest thing in the world. So how dare she? Her father says, Hashkini Maim, and her husband says, no, Hashkini Maim. How could she listen to her husband? It's not because it's a higher level of kibud. It's because in that, when the husband, because she's Meshubedes Labaila, she's under Rishus Achayim, it means that there's a hafka. There's the removal, the suspension, the temporary suspension of the din of obligating a parent.
Is there a makar on the Raisa level that she's
mentioned
Labaila or not?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we're not going into that. That's as per all the Nisei Kalim, the Mefarshim, and the Sugi and Shas regarding the halachas of a wife being mechabed a husband. But certainly, it's not blatantly written in Chumash the same way the din of kabbadis avicha v'simacha. It's not, and therefore, in the situation that we're talking about. In the situation we're talking about, if there's a conflict, if her husband is asking for something, and her father, who's the older brother of the husband, would like something, it seems clear that she would have to listen to her husband because she's mishubedes labayla. There's no halach of any other kibud at the time that the husband asks for something. Therefore, if we come back to the Pesach Teshuva, it's a strong question on the Pesach Teshuva. Remember, the Pesach Teshuva wanted to say, oh, you know what? It must be that honoring your father-in-law, honoring your mother-in-law, is not really a full-fledged halacha. You know why? Because if it would be a full-fledged halacha, then she would have to listen to her father because he's obligated to honor his father-in-law as well. You could ask a strong kash on it. That's not true. Because we just brought an example. If we brought an example, you chayim midaraisa to honor your father-in-law. It's your older brother, right? It's not true because there's a din, there's a unique halacha in the relationship between a husband and wife that dictates the halacha. And the halacha here is not a higher level of kibbutz; it's a hafka of the kibbutz. It removes the mitzvah of kibbutz of aim for that moment. Therefore, the Pesach Teshuva is a hard Pesach Teshuva because you understand the Pesach Teshuva wants to be right. Yeah, for sure, honoring your father-in-law is not a din deraisa. For sure not. You know why not? Because if it would really be deraisa, then if there would be a conflict between the father and the husband, then since the husband has to be deraisa, listen to his father-in-law. So that's not true. Simply, it doesn't seem to be true because she's mishubedes labayla. It's a separate halacha. It's not a halacha in kibud. It's a halacha in shibud. It's a halacha in shibud. Al kapanim. In terms of Lamaisa, there are other opinions that are brought down. The Chayyadim brings down an interesting opinion, and it's brought down from the Sefer Haredim that they want to learn out that there is a din deraisa, there is a halacha deraisa for a woman to honor her in-laws. There's a chiv d'oraisa. They bring a svar ishto kegufo. What does it mean ishto kegufo? That the wife has the same din as the husband, in the same way that the husband is obligated to honor his parents. Ishto kegufo, a wife is like her. She has the same din as her husband. So it's brought down from the charedim that as far as she is concerned, she's obligated to d'oraisa. She loses on all ends, right? So she's obligated to be deraisa to honor her in-laws, because ishto kegufo, it's brought down, and the minchas alos discussed this, it's brought down, it's a Levitical thing.
Ishto kegufo is usually not using that concept.
Usually not.
That's a strange, seems of course a strange way of applying that.
Yeah.
Because that's not how we usually.
That's why I'm not going to go into it too much. Right, it's really not, it's not mainstream, it's not the mainstream view, but I thought I would just mention it. So here you have in the Imre Yosha from a Meir Arik, here you have one of the biggest Pailos Shachrayim. There's a Shaila here. We're going to begin to apply things Lamaisa. The truth is that we're going to need one more time to finish, because the next Shia is going to be on this subject. We're going to learn this little piece in the Imre Yosha, and then the next Shia is going to be to discuss situations of where the in-laws are meddling into the relationship. And how do we deal with that?
It's theoretical.
Yeah, never have. Right.
Anybody has theoretical questions to ask
the Right. It's like the case of the Ben Almona. We're not really asking Lamaisa. We're just theoretically. Yeah. So we're learning Torah Lishma. So that's something we're gonna have to talk about. But look, I'm just giving you an example of how I want to give you an example from a famous Achron, Imre Yosher, and how it plays into the halacha. This Shaila gets into the halacha, but it's very hard because when I was learning the Indian, there's no like a sefer on this. It's not in one place. It's just a question of seeing how it surfaces. That one little sentence in Shulchan Aruch, Chayiv, Odom Lechaber, you Chayiv to honor your father-in-law and your mother-in-law. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't discuss conflicts. So the Ramei Arik has this question. Listen to this interesting question. Derech Sheila also. He was sent to Shaila by Big Rav. You have a mother. She cursed her son, and she cursed and said that you're never going to be. I'll never let you see me again. She tells her son. If you go to my mechatanista again, if you go to your in-laws again, then you know. She swore. That if you go again to visit the Mechatainim, I'm never, you can't talk to me again. She made it like a klola shua. Okay. So the Vahadova Koshal of Lumalis Vitsoina. So he says, Vahadova Koshal. So here he has his mother saying he's never allowed to go to visit, he's not allowed to go visit his in-laws. And he said, and he says, huh? That's so good. We find out a couple things over here. And it's very hard for him to do that. It's very hard for him to do that. And if he does that, it's going to destroy. He knows it's going to destroy the relationship with his wife. Is he allowed to go visit his in-laws? Here he has a mother. The mother said, "I swear, if you ever go again, you're not talking to me. You are not allowed to go to the mechatanista." And on the other hand, he has shalom bayis. He has his wife. He has his family to take the children to their grandparents. Unfortunately, the ma'aseh like this is b'chayim. So he says, he brings here. Hine mashakosev kvayteros the mitzat kibud aim ainu mechiv l'shmoy bekayla. So the one who wrote the Shaila to Imre Yosha says that mitzat kibud aim, that as far as honoring your mother, you don't have to listen to such a thing. It brings a taisis, over here, that there's no hana over here. This is a question in the halachas of kibud av aim, that if there's no rational benefit to the parent, if there's no rational, not irrational, like the Gemara says, take my money and throw it into the ocean. Take your money and throw it into the ocean. If there's no rational benefit to a parent, the parent just says, I want you to go take run across the Long Island Expressway. It's a Michigan Azach. I mean, what am I going to... It's irrational. And what benefit do you have from that?
This would only be a case of the daughter, because if it's the son, I mean, the case is only of a...
In other words, any time a parent asks for something, but there's no hana, the parent doesn't have any benefit from it. It's tamah mishagas. Okay, so we'll see in the poskim that something that could be brought to Besdin.
What if they told you to take all your money and give it to the doctor? So there is a benefit.
No,
good.
A parent could always, I'm sorry, but the parent could always say, listen, this parent says, I have the Hanoah if you never see the Mechatainis again. But that's not the definition of Hanoah, some Mishigas.
It's rational.
Now here, again, we're going to see that the Bezdin will have to decide, maybe it is rational. Maybe there's something poisonous and destructive to the to who knows. Let's not make fun. Could be there's something
and
to
sometimes
it.
Sometimes say, don't do this because I know that this will lead you.
Okay, it could be. There could be the worry about the grandchildren. It could be that there's a terrible influence there. It could be a million things.
So, is the fact that the in-law is the other side of the equation relevant or not? If the issue is that it's a request that she gets no hana from, then it doesn't make a difference who the person is, whether it's
right.
The law.
Right, we don't have to even get into that. Right, then we don't have to even get into that whole parasha. Right. We would just say that in the laws, in the halachas of honoring a parent, if it's something which is irrational and it's completely, completely beyond what would be considered a hanah, any type of real emetic benefit to a parent, what kind of a benefit is it?
No.
So in that case, you wouldn't have to listen.
Yeah, but in this case, we're dealing with a second party. We're dealing with the wife.
Okay, but
so far,
that's what the Rav who wrote the Shaila, in his question, he said, he was asking the Emor Yosher, is that what we would say over here? He says, in our case, in other words, what you're saying, he says like this, he's referring to is a halacha. There's a halacha here in Shulchan Aruch. There's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Just find the place for a second. In Sift HaZayin, in Simon Reish Mem Sift HaZayin, listen to this interesting case. I was going to only talk about this next week, but since I'll mention it. We'll come back to it then afterwards. In Sift HaZayin, it's on the list, it's on page 113 in the Shulchan Aruch. Ha'ov Shetzivez B'nano, Shalo Yidabri Employini, Shalo Yimchalai, Adzman Kotzev. A father commands his son, I don't want you to speak to that guy. Whoever that is, I don't want you to speak to that guy, Shimon. I don't want you to have anything to do with him for this amount of time. I don't want you to be Marchalim. Right? And the son would like to make up with that guy. He wants to get along with him. If not for his father's command, he would go and apologize. They would go and make up. The din is ein lochush l'tzavosa. The son doesn't have to concern himself at all with the father's command. Why? Because as is explained in the poskim, what's happening here? As is explained, if you look in the Taz, and right in the bottom of the list, the last line of the Taz, if called the Taz Zayin, Ein Loi Lochus L'Tzavos, so she also listenai, you see it? She also listenai Shum Yehudi. You're not allowed to hate another Jew. You're not allowed to hate another Jew. Im Loi Shavu, I have a very et cetera of Gavta Halacha. So what Rav Meir Arik is saying is as follows. The person who was sending the question, Rav Meir Arik said, he brings here from the Taz. He says that, he brings this din, that b'mishat tziva l'bnei shalei dabrim plani v'layim chalei ein lochus l'savos akosav atar shom da'atam mishum da'os l'isna shum adam yisrael v'avi kemitzav l'avra al divrei Torah. We all know that if a parent tells you to go against the Torah, you're not allowed to listen. If a parent tells you to be mechal Shabbos, you're not allowed to listen. If a parent tells you to eat treif, you're not allowed to listen. And if a parent tells you to prolong the hatred of another Jew and not to accept an apology and not to work things out, you're not allowed to listen. O'muchach di lav haytime So it sounds like if not for that reason that you're not allowed to listen to a parent to go against the Torah, you would be chayef to listen to the parent. So the question is, in this situation when they say I don't want you talking to the mechutin, he's not saying I want you to hate the mechutin. He's not saying I want you to hate. I don't want you to go to the mechutin's house. Not that I want you to hate him, to despise him, to hurt him. I just don't want you going there. And if you go there again, I'm not talking to you. I don't want you going there. So in that situation, he's not saying I want you to violate an issue from the Torah. He says, I'm not saying to hate the person. But if you tell someone you're not allowed to talk to the person and they had a fight, you're not allowed to talk to the person, that's already a sin. Over here, maybe it's even allowed, I don't know what the question is, not so clear. Maybe it's even that she says you're allowed to go to the house. You're not allowed to go to that, you're allowed to talk to the person, you can't go to the house. I don't know, it's not clear. So he says, here what the Rabbi says, this is what he ends up and says the following. But in this case, when the mother is commanding the son not to go to the in-laws, where you're chayev, he says, you're obligated to honor your in-laws. Kedisa b'yordeis mishmer, which we learned in the Yordeya. Af im neimah d'havirak mitzvah d'rabbanon. Even if you want to say, like we saw from the Shach, that what honoring an in-law is only it's not a derais. It's like it's a kenim chashuv. It's not a derais. Right? Gam kin ein chayv l'shmoy bekarla. Still, you do not listen to your mother when she tells you to do such a thing, not to go to your in-laws. Why? The levat la fila mitzvah drabon ein shaymin la'avein. You're not allowed to listen to a parent who tells you to have chicken and milk either. You're not allowed to listen to a parent who tells you to go against the drabbanan. So even if honoring your in-laws is a drabbanan, she said drabbanan, you're not allowed to go against you. You're not allowed to go against a drabbanan to honor your parents. If your parents tell you to violate a drabbanan, you're allowed to. Ach bezet zarchin ktsas den hidem mitzad kibud chayv lelechas the prokem lechamer ke goin beregel vchadayim aval lelechas toder einem uchuyim mitzad kibud chamer. But the mayor just ends up and says, but over here it's a little bit touchy, because what is the shear of going to visit your in-laws that you chayv? I mean, certainly he says, let's say by a yontiv you would have something to stop by the in-laws. That doesn't mean that you have to go all the time. If it's making your mother crazy, that doesn't mean you have to go every day to visit, or every week, or every Shabbos. So he says it's not clear. He ends up by saying the son should try to calm the mother down by saying, okay, ma, listen, I can't listen to you if you're telling me never to go visit my in-laws, because I'm chayef to honor them, and the natural way of honoring is to go at least to stop by in a yontif or something. I can't do that. I have to go for yontif, but I will not go there every Monday and Thursday. I won't go there every week. I'm going to try. You know, you're obligated to do something, because you're not chayef midrabbanan to visit your in-laws all the time. But you can't say, I'm never coming to the house. You can't, because why? Because it didn't draw a bond on your in-laws. So you can't say, I'm not going. You can't listen to your mother. Then if you listen to your mother, you're violating your bond. But you can say, ma, I'm only going to go, I'll go a couple times a year. I'm not going to go every week. That you can say. Not only can, he said, it would be proper to say that. Again, the question, if that's still going to ruin Shalom Bayis, we're going to talk about that next week. What if the wife says, that's not good enough for me. I want you to come visit my parents every Monday and Thursday.
But if the demand is irrational, what's the difference if it's a drabbanan and deraisa or none of the above? If it's an irrational demand, there's no hana involved. So what's the difference?
Because the reason that the Ramayarik did not follow along those lines is because, A, it's not clear whether or not this would fall into the category of hana. Perhaps it would. And B, not everybody agrees with that din. Not everybody agrees with that in the situation. It's not a universal din. So he finishes this and he says, listen how he ends the last sentence. He says, however, let's keep in mind, that's not what the mother wants, that you should only go once in a while. What does the mother say? The mother says, never. So the halacha of Meir Arik says, since that's what she commanded, that you can't listen to. So Mimele says, what the mother asked for is completely bottle. In other words, I'm going to listen to her partially, I'll go sometimes. That's not true. So the mother demanded that you never go. So what Meir Arik says, and since what she said cannot be kept, because it's telling you to violate the Derabbanan, right, because you have to honor your in-laws, so once already mixes, so the Diva, once already a part of what she said is bottle, then the whole thing is bottle. Then it's not worth anything, because that's only the comment of arm. The Diva should bottle mix, also bottle kulo. That if there's something of what somebody said, that if a little bit of it is bottle, then it's already bottle kulo, the whole thing is bottle. So and that's it. So Meir Arik ends up and he says, and certainly, certainly, if you're afraid that it's going to stare, it's going to ruin your shalom bayis, you don't have to listen to your mother at all. He said, in other words, really, it could be that maybe it would be better to go, to say, okay, mom, I'm going to go only once in a while. I'm not going to go all the time. I'm only going yontif. Really, though, Ramayarik says that if it's bothering the shalom bayis, then the halacha would be, we would say, since what she said is not being completely kept, because you are going once in a while, then already it's, then her whole expectation is bottle. Then you don't have to listen to your mother at all. Just listen to your wife and to go as you normally would go to visit the in-laws.
Obviously, it's better to think the Hanukkah and try to.
Oh, sorry. These tshuvas are only written after everything has been exhausted. Everything has been tried. They spoke 5 minutes about it. they worked it out. That's when everything has been exhausted. All these shilas are only when you tried everything. You tried everything. It's not going. So I might know situations like this. I know situations like this. I have many people over the years, these kind of things happen, that I refuse. The in-law says, you will not ever have anything to do with those people again. So Meir Arik says that that's bottle such a thing. Why? Because there's din drabbanan on your in-laws. A drabbanan, you're not allowed to go against the drabbanan also. If your parents tell you to go against the drabbanan, you're not supposed to listen. The only thing that's interesting here, so it comes out Lamaisa, what Meir Arik is saying is that there is, that to visit, it's expected, it's a din to visit your in-laws once in a while. And if it would stare the shalom bayis, then you wouldn't listen to your mother at all. The person has to just go all the time.
What if the husband said that to the wife?
If we would have the same situation.
Arguably, we said it's wiped out, right? We said it's not strong. We said it's completely wiped out. So if the husband said that to the wife, would she have to listen?
You know, I think I'm going to bring that up next week, because the question is, how far do we stretch this concept of Rishus Acher Maleha, that she's Mishubedes Labala? If she's Mishubedes Labala, for instance, if a husband tells a wife to be Mechal Shabbos, there's a Sheba that's greater than the Sheba that she has. A husband can't tell a wife to violate the Eis or the Rabbanan either.
Now, should it be any different? If someone doesn't have to listen to his mother, which is...
Well, her wouldn't be. It should be the same din. Yeah. Yeah, you can't violate a Durabban. You can't violate a Durabban or a Duraisa.
But like you say, if a wife said to the husband, I don't want to deserve Gebrochs.
Right. So on a minute, you're saying? Or
a minute. Right. We have a conflict of the Shishon Bias and a minute.
Listen, you know, we see that the halachas of Sheba do stretch to the minhagim of the husband. They do stretch to the minhagim, so he can't force her to eat the gebrachs, but if he wants to have gebrachs, so. Because the halachas of the minhagim, of course, go both to the husband.
And let's say he observes gebrachs, and she says...
Oh, and she feeds him gebrachs.
And she says, I don't want to, in my house... You know, we're going to eat kibbutz.
So, and he has nothing to eat now. She's mishubedes the baal as far as menhagim are concerned. Certainly, she's mishubedes in that area. She can't do such a thing. For him, it's a violation of a minig. Whatever that means, but then that is there would be a sheba, because that's the din of the Torah. The din of the Torah is that the halacha is that when it comes to anhagas habayis, minhagim, then it goes according to the father. So the sheba would apply, but not in a case like where there's a violation of it. Then, okay.